Hello, and welcome to I Guess We're Grownups Now. I am your co-host, Carrie.
And I'm Brooke.
Hello, Brooke. It's been a while since we talked.
Yeah, it's been like a whole bit of June, I guess.
Yeah. You've been doing some traveling. I've been doing some traveling, too. I was in a city I've never been to before.
What city is that?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
On our side of the border.
Yep. Into enemy territory. I infiltrated your borders.
Which conference did you go to?
Oh, it was called Confab. It's a content strategy conference, and it was so great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wish that was a content strategy podcast, because I would just talk all day about it. It was so great. I'm obsessed about words, and it was my people, you know.
It's hard to find sometimes. I feel like I was at two different conferences this past month. So I was in Singapore for SREcon, which is a engineering and software reliability engineer conference, and I was speaking there, and then I was at a nonfiction conference, and I don't know if either set of the people were my people, but I found people at both of them, if that makes sense. Like I met a friend of a friend at SREcon, and we hung out quite a bit, and we were kind of united by queerness. Like I saw her and I was like, she seems like she might be queer. And then we started talking and she was, and I was like, we have to hang out. So we went on like dinner hangouts and whatever else.
That's
and
awesome.
Then in Iceland, the nonfiction conference, like I'm a person without any like higher degrees. And so when I'm surrounded by a lot of people with like PhDs or getting PhDs or talking about all of their like adjunct facility lives or faculty lives or whatever, I'm like, can't really relate. I don't know what to say, but also I'm on the same panels as them, and like I'm doing stuff and like getting, you know, paid, I guess, to talk, which is cool. And people wanted to hear what I had to say, so that was nice. And most of my people there were just like the friends that I was staying with, which was three other trans people who live kind of all over the place right now and don't get to see each other very often. So that was like the biggest highlight, was just like sitting in an apartment with my friends, like eating rotten shark and chatting about life. And yeah,
that sounds the rotten shark detail is like horrible, but I know that's probably like a wonderful thing to be trying too.
I think it's good. We found that it was not universally liked in our friend group, but 3 out of 4 of us loved it. My friend Cooper spat it out over the railing of our apartment. No animals touched it overnight, and screamed about how it was the worst thing he'd ever had in his life, and how he couldn't believe we were eating this, because we were just sitting outside eating it, and he was like, what is wrong with you? So, but to be fair, he doesn't like organ meat or those kinds of flavors, and I think, like, I've had shark before. I like shark. It tastes like shark. It smells like cat pee, which is maybe not the most ideal smell or scent, but, you know, everything else, pretty good. So... but that's not what we're talking about today. We're not talking about conferences or rotted shark. What are we talking about?
No, but we are
about?
Sort of talking about finding your people and celebrating that.
That's very
it's
true.
It's Pride Month.
It's Pride Month.
So we're going to talk about Pride.
Yeah, and it's in different, the Pride Festival sort of thing, or Pride Marches, or whatever your town, city, or like prefecture may have. Like, it happens all over the month of June, and by and large, I think actually back when I used to live in Austin, the official Pride stuff happened in September. But there was a protest and community march called Queer Bomb that happened in June. And here in Portland, we just had ours this last weekend. Yesterday was the last day of like official Pride celebration stuff.
Yeah. And ours is going on all of June, and we have our parade on Saturday.
Cool.
And I'm going for the first time in Saskatoon. I've been to the parade once in Toronto many years ago, but this is the first time I'm attending Saskatoon's parade.
You taking the kids as well?
At least the older one. I said to her, would you be interested in going to Pride Parade? And she's like, yes. And our cousin wants to go too. So I'm like, all right, I got people to go to Pride Parade with.
That's great.
So taking my niece and my daughter, and yeah, very excited.
It probably won't surprise you that I didn't go to the parade.
Right. Well, actually, I mean, in some ways that does surprise me a bit, Brooke. Talk about that.
So, I'm run the board for the largest queer rights organization in Oregon. But I'm also an anti-capitalist and have a lot of feelings about the presence of corporations and religious groups at Pride and the fact that it is a pay for marching kind of thing. The police march, there's a lot of stuff where I'm just kind of like, I'd rather not be there. I see a lot of people really excited to wave rainbows, but I don't see those same people always involved in the work throughout the year. So I'm more of a, I want to be behind the scenes working on making this stuff better. And to that point, this last year has been amazing for queer rights in Oregon. And we've gotten a lot of stuff passed. We just got self-attestation passed. So you can change your gender marker at the DMV because you know who you are and you don't have to have like a therapist letter for it, which is pretty fucking awesome. Cool. And that stuff's big for me. I also do a lot of volunteering during the time. So on Friday night, instead of like going to a party, I was at a party, but I was there as an art volunteer for the Q Center, taking bids for art auction just to like get money to the Q Center. And there was thumping bass the whole time, but mostly I was like, do you want to bid on this art? Hey, do you want to donate money to the Q Center? Which is something I'm more comfortable doing. Like, I don't like parties or groups as much, especially if I don't have, like, a task. And then on Saturday, I performed at an event called Slant, which is, like, a queer storytelling event. And I told the story of how I got on Japanese TV. And,
oh, cool.
Yeah, and, like, all the performers were queer, and a pretty strong majority of the performers were POC, and there were some other trans folks, and it was just like a really neat thing. And that's kind of my style of Pride, is spending some time with my friends, maybe performing at something or volunteering at something. Last year I went to the Trans March and the Dyke March, and then met someone later on at a thing and stayed up too late with them and skipped Pride because I was very tired and I didn't miss it too much. And this year I also didn't miss it too much. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm straight and cis and have never identified as queer. So I'm very conscious that I'm going as a guest and a supporter and it's not for me. But there's people I'm going with who it is for, and yeah. I want to be there for them. But yeah, I think it does seem like, to some extent, it's been, I don't know, watered down for the general populace. And I guess for something to become popular and mainstream,
yeah.
There's going to be some of that that happens. But yeah.
It depends on the place. I mean, in Austin, true. For instance, like part of the reason why Queer Bomb exists, at least to my knowledge, is because the general Pride Festival or March or whatever asked the leather community not to participate. They were like, hey, we'd rather you not be here. And you know, I think one of the best things about being queer is that we're not in like the mainstream way, that we don't want to all like get married, own property, have babies, and like, you know, a lot of us are still living in very like radical or alternative ways, and like that's a good thing for us. So yeah, asking something like a kink community who is a very central part of, you know, some parts of the queer community not to participate was like really upsetting. And I don't know about the Portland Festival. I know the people who plan it a little bit, and they're sweet people. So I don't think stuff like that happens here, but I know that those parts of the community are often more comfortable at like the Dyke March or the Trans March that happen on the day before, that are more community led and less, less corporate. But a lot of the people I know who marched yesterday were like you said, like straight allies or people who might be queer, but like don't know how to talk about it or haven't actually done much with it outside of the, you know, safety and like confidence of their mind and their friends. And I think that's good. I think it's like good to have a place where people can come explore things and see a whole lot of people who are really excited about being gay. I know from talking to older friends that, like, when people first started marching with PFLAG, or when they first started seeing people who weren't, traditionally in the gay world, like, supporting them and being out there, it was a really big deal. I think for some of us, it's still a very complex and different kind of thing, because now that it's like, there's Pride section at Target and you can buy Pride clothes, like, it feels like a commodification of my world and not necessarily support of my world. So,
Right,
and to be fair, like,
right.
I'm a relatively affluent, like, white person, albeit being trans and a dyke. Like, I still benefit from white supremacy. I still benefit from a lot of the things that, like, those things are propping up. So, I can only imagine that other communities might feel more excluded or weird about the whole thing.
There's a bit of, oh, I don't even know if it's made anybody's controversy radar in Saskatoon. So Saskatoon is traditionally a pretty conservative place, very white and colonialist, but with a little like weird lefty streak. Like we're the birthplace of socialized medicine, and we have lots of co-ops and stuff like that, but it's also very conservative. For the last 12 years, while there's been a pride parade going on, our mayor, Don Acheson, conveniently always had important family vacation tradition at the cabin at the lake, when the pride parade happened, and so he never ever attended. He was invited, and then after a while, he was pointedly not invited,
Oh my God.
and oh, just the worst. It was so like obvious. Just come out and say you don't want to go. Anyway, last fall we elected a new mayor who is much more open-minded and connected to the community and everything. And so for the first time, Saskatoon mayor will be participating in the Pride Parade, and in fact he's been named Grand Marshal. That's the part that's been like, at least amongst some of my friends, we sort of raise our eyebrow at this. It's like, so a man in power who's part of a political organization that has, or I don't know, a civic organization that has actively not been at the interest of the queer community, does the very bare minimum, which is
Right.
tell people at Pride that he will attend. And you honor him by making him Grand Marshal. Like, maybe we should give him a few years till we have gender-neutral washrooms and that are open to the public through the city, or where sex workers aren't routinely harassed by the police department, or, various other things. Schools have, supportive programs for LGBT kids. Maybe those things should happen before we like start getting too excited about Charlie Clark supporting
And I think
Pride.
that's really the crux of a lot of it too, right? It's just like, okay, it's the bare minimum. So, like, what are you doing the rest of the year? What policies are you implementing? Like, making somebody a grand marshal, like you said, for showing up is way different than making them the grand marshal because they successfully decriminalized sex work or abolished prisons, or which are all queer issues, like, incredibly important queer issues, or, like, had safe injection sites, or, made it so that people could access trans healthcare without being medicalized or whatever, right? There's, like, so many things that not just my community, but communities, like, adjacent to my community need that those folks should be doing. And, like, when I see this, like, well, you can buy gay Nike shoes now, I'm like, yeah, but Nike still exploits workers and exploits the populace. So, like, I'm not exactly
Right.
eager to go buy, rainbow stuff from a company that I wouldn't normally want to support all that much. And it's complex too, because I think, for my organization that I'm not speaking on behalf of right now, but am a part of, like, we have a ton of corporate sponsors and a corporate support, and, like, they give us money every year and support the really amazing work that we do. But, there are times that we butt heads and times where they seem to want us to support corporations with a little bit of the, or we won't support the queers. And I think this, like, finding a way to disrupt capitalism in the same way that we disrupt like homophobia and transphobia. They're all the same thing. Like capitalism is right at the crux of the pain and suffering that queer people face. So,
Right.
and I think like, you know, if you're 10 years old or maybe you're like 75 and you're finally out and you're really excited, like those things don't come up and they don't need to come up because like you should be able to go out and really celebrate and enjoy yourself and be as queer as you are in public for maybe the first time with people cheering you on. But if you're kind of a cranky loner like me, then you don't get a lot from it. Like I was marching with Dykemarch last year and people were chanting, and I'm like such a dork that I was just like, I'm not chanting. Like, how dare you ask me to say the same thing as other people in unison? This is absurd. Like, I wanted to march in the other direction just out of protest from that. But I'm like, you know, there's to some degree like useful times to be on the outer and other times where it's like, okay, we need to band together and love each other. And you know, we're 1 year out from the Pulse shooting in Orlando, and last year that was how Pride started, was, you know, there were two or three vigils in Portland and around the country to honor and remember the people who were brutally murdered out of homophobia. And we've lost so many trans women of color this year. We've lost so many queers this year already. And like there's that tricky thing of like celebration of ourselves, but also remembrance and mourning. And all that is to say that I spend a lot more time on my couch drinking coffee during Pride than I do wearing rainbows and standing outside. Also, you know me, I don't wear rainbows. I always wear black, so I don't have a colorful palette. And I should also say that like the other thing that I did for Pride, well, at least to some degree for Pride, was I went to the woods with a bunch of queer femmes and we had a lot of fun. So that was like last weekend, and that was incredibly like uplifting and wonderful. It was like a private community of people, and we got to like hang out in hot tubs and make out and other things I'm not going to say on a podcast, but it was great. And I think those are the places where I feel like safe and seen. So.
I mean, I think in the same way that, and this is a very reductive metaphor, but like in the same way that we all enjoy a catchy pop song that's in the top 40, or maybe not all, but like that sometimes you can't help but enjoy it because it's infectious and like lots of people enjoy it, but you know
Totally.
that that's not like the kind of music that feeds your soul. There's still a need for whatever that is that you find that's not, you know,
I mean,
not
it's mystery novels
derivative stuff.
versus it's mystery novels versus like some of the literature that I read, you know. And some
Right.
mystery novels are pretty amazing, but like sometimes I just want to read about just ridiculous stuff and escape for a little while. And sometimes I want to really like dig into myself and the world around me and I think there's times for both of those things. And like I don't want to like shame anybody or say, "Hey, I can't believe you went to Pride." I'm really glad people go to Pride. I think it's really healthy, and I hope that more people go to Pride and realize just how gay they are, because it makes our dating pool bigger. Because
But
that's what I'm
also
really
to
interested
know,
in.
as long as you know, have the greater good in mind there, Brooke. But also to realize that that's not the end of what it means to be gay or to be queer or to be trans. Let's not forget there's a T in LGBT. I
No
know you
way.
don't forget that. I just
What?
mean
I forget I'm trans all the time. It happens. And
mean
I think the other thing too is like remembering how and where to take up space and how and where to kind of get on the sidelines and like support. You know, I think like hearkening back to what I was saying about churches showing up, right? Or corporations showing up. Like, I'm glad that corporations and churches support queerness because that's the bare minimum. Of course you should. But I don't think they should march in a parade or march in a march for it, right? I feel like they could stand on the sides and just be like, "Hey, we will welcome you. We're happy to support you." They should be cheering us on. But it's real weird when like straight allies are cheering on straight allies in a queer pride parade, which is something that happens all the time because it's a bunch of
All the
like
time.
straight folks marching for some company, and it's like,
It's like,
okay. And I've seen a lot of companies
panels with white
too,
guys on it.
right? I've also seen a lot of companies march who don't have trans healthcare, who don't have some of these like basic things. And I'm like, I know you don't have that because I worked for you and like you didn't have it then. I know you still don't. And like, I can't believe you have the audacity to go out here and march. Or like, I know that you'd refuse to give money to like queer organizations, but you think that like marching in the parade or like giving a little bit of money to like this one conference that doesn't actually do much like is going to help a lot. And it's like, those are my beefs. Like I said, I'm just a cranky queer.
Tend to have high standards for the people who are celebrated
I try.
in
We
public ways.
I
Like,
was recently listening to a friend's radio show, and she had an episode on the Enneagram, which is something we should also maybe totally talk about one time. But the Enneagram is like another type of typing system for people, sort of like the Myers-Briggs or astrology, I guess. And it has like a
yes.
1 through 9 system. And I was like very saddened to realize that I probably am a one, which is like ethos above everything else. And like, even I can't live up to my high standards and stuff like that. And I'm just like, oh, at me next time.
That would be a great topic, the whole like personality inventorying.
They're wild. And I
They
think
are.
that, you know, there's a queer personality inventorying too. And like part of coming to Pride or part of coming to know yourself as a queer person or know yourself as a person who has queer family or queer partners is sort of figuring out what your identity is inside of that. And those can be really shifting. But like, I was also having a conversation with a friend today about that. And like, you know, a lot of people are like, I think that bi people are too excluded from Pride, or like, I think that X community like isn't represented, or like, are we even allowed to come? And the answer is like, sure, but it there's like all these what were they saying? As much as queer people love to talk about not liking binaries, like we sure do love binaries, and like every time we have a definition or a category, we love to like build walls around it and like figure out who can and can't be part of it. And it's just like, that's no fun. Like, I get why people do it because like it's there's safety and identity. And one of the first things that I think you figure out when you are coming out is like, oh, am I gay or am I a lesbian or am I a dyke or am I like bisexual or pansexual? And there's all these words suddenly that you have to like grapple with, and some of them may include history and some of them may erase history and some of them may rewrite things, and it's all in there. And I think those are really wild things to think about when we talk about pride too. Even just like the sort of, I wouldn't say separatist, but the marches that represent specific communities where it's like, okay, well, why would we have a trans march? Why would we have a dyke march? Maybe why would there be a leather march or whatever? And like, what is it about these communities that they would want to have a separate thing? And why would that be? And that kind of stuff. Those are things I ask.
Those are great. Those are great questions that are totally that we do all need to ask, and obviously do not have simple answers to them. Because there's another level, which is okay, so for the groups who aren't having separate marches or whatever, what are the reasons they don't feel that they need to, or that it would be safe to, or that, yeah, that it would cause more trouble than any good it would generate? Like, what? Why do those people not feel and or are they even thinking about it? Like,
Yeah, hard to say. And I think like, you know, it's a tricky thing. I know a lot of like, for instance, my bisexual friends or my queer friends or the various ways that they identify who are in like opposite gender relationships or straight seeming relationships. And like whether or not that relationship is actually straight is like a different story, but like and it's kind of up to them. But those folks will also oftentimes be like, oh, should I be able to go to Pride? Should I like how am I still queer even though I'm in a relationship with somebody who isn't, or even though I'm in a relationship where, you know, yada yada. And like I don't get to decide that. Like, I think everybody gets to figure out what their relationship is with queer culture and queer pride on their own. And I think if people are telling you like you shouldn't show up, then like that says more about them than it does about you. And like
Unless unless what they're saying is you're harmful.
which sure. But I mean like the ways in which we cause harm to each other are complex, and like
Interesting.
I'm skeptical of people who are like, hey, you're harmful, without giving you any kind of like reasoning or like talking to you about it at all. That
Or
said, there are definitely. Oh, go ahead.
by speaking about your category instead
Sure.
of by your actions. Like if they say, well, you're harmful because you're in a straight looking relationship. What?
Yeah, that's a
That's
different
not,
kind of situation. If you're
yeah.
harmful because like every time you show up somewhere, you center yourself and like are the loudest voice and refuse to like, let anyone else have a word in edgewise.
Yeah.
Then that's different. Like
That's
I
different.
always say, like if you're more interested in yelling about your pronouns or your space in queerness than you are working on prison abolition or fighting for the rights of sex workers or, ensuring that like trans women of color aren't dying, then, you might still be queer, but we probably shouldn't be friends. Like that stuff isn't, it's not the stuff that I want to work on primarily, even if
Right.
it's like still important. And I think it is like everyone's identity and space inside of the stuff is like good to like sort out. But I have my priorities and I'm less interested in like, can you come to Pride or not? And more interested in like, hey, are you going to show up next time when there's a Black Lives Matter protest? Hey, are you going to show up next time when, people are facing down the cops? Or when there's a lot of other stuff happening? Like, are you going to be at the phone banks? Like, and
Right.
I don't think that that like establishes a some sort of like barrier. Like, if you're not doing those things, I'm not saying don't come to Pride, but I am saying if you're coming to Pride, think about the other ways you can be involved. So.
Right. Excellent.
It's a
Well
very
said.
meandering way to get to that point.
It's a podcast. We're supposed to meander.
Also, I'm just going to say that I wish there were more cats at Pride. I saw one cat on a leash at a bar at the event that I was at, and I wish that was a thing. Because often people have Pride dogs, but I'm like, I think that an important part of my lesbian identity is having a cat.
Yeah, I think a big part of my cat's plural queer identities is avoiding large crowds of people. They're kind of like you, Brooke,
They are
actually,
kind of
where
like me.
they choose to like find their people and celebrate in more, personal and yeah.
And we also are always cleaning ourselves and
Napping.
I don't nap too much, but I do sleep well at night. So, yeah,
Oh my God.
it's a thing. It's a lifestyle. Yeah, it's wild too, and I think like one thing that struck me when I was at the event that I was speaking at, and always strikes me because it's always so easy to forget, is just how many people, in their day-to-day life or in their friends or in their family, like aren't out or are scared to talk about who they are or have just barely like been able to come to themselves. There was a woman who had finally like come out at I think 77 years old, and she's like 80 something now, and she was talking about her experiences of like sort of being absorbed in the heterosexual world when she was younger because she liked women, but she met this guy who was just like, well, we should get married, and she was like, I like women, and he was like, haha, that's not real. Let's get married. I have like a house and a job. And she was like, okay, I guess. And then it wasn't until years later, I think, like at a Methodist like group for like mothers or something, that she like met a woman who she fell for,
Wow.
which I found like lovely. And I think that's the thing too, is just like as much as I hear stories of people coming out late, I always hear people like quietly talking to me about how like, I don't know, I might be queer, but also like that's scary and my world would be upended by it. And like I just saw my friend wrote a post today, like inspired by this weekend, that was about how, at 32 years old, after being married to a guy for 2 years and in a relationship for 10, she was like, shit, I'm definitely gay and I'm gonna have to break up with him. And that's not everyone's stories, but this person in particular had like grew up with a gay dad and grew up around queer affirming parents. And even with that, had convinced herself that there was no way that she could be gay because, you know, she thought it was cool to just maybe have a house and have a kid. And like, it was comfortable to have this guy in her life. And, you know, I think that's one good thing about, say, like a pride or like a mainstreaming of queerness is that the idea that it's a feasible option, that it's not like something that would destroy your life possibly, although it still can, but that you could choose that and not hide in the closet or hide inside of like heteropatriarchy.
Right.
Probably that's good for everybody.
Yeah, I think it's taken away some of the some of the systemic problems. Like, I think we all faced with that kind of situation would find complications that are personal to us, or at least that we perceive as personal to us.
Yeah, for sure.
But the mainstreaming of whatever you want to call it, pride, we'll call it for shorthand, means that at least we can point to things and say, well, there are people living quote unquote normal lives supported by the community who have come out.
Totally.
Even if right now, I don't think it can be me, for example.
Totally, totally. And I think, like, you know, I am glad there's space for that. For me, I'm typically in the space of, like, I want people to know that they can live abnormal lives. They can live wacky, fucking, like, queer and, like, perverse lives if they come out. Because that's more fun to me. I'm like, yeah, sure, you can have a mortgage and be a gay person, I guess. But also, you can, like, be just a wacky, hella wild, like, anti-capitalist witch, and that's totally cool too.
I love that, Rick. That is so great.
I just try to show up for the folks who are, and I mean, that said, I'm still a person who, like, works in tech and has a 9-to-5 job to some degree, and, like, you know, I travel around the world to talk about that kind of stuff, so take it with a grain of salt, but the world I want to see is one where there's not much normal.
That's awesome. I think your like normal job in tech stuff just like accentuates your awesome queerness.
Aw, thanks. I appreciate it. I'm happy to work at a company where they care.
So
you know, we didn't make anything with rainbows on it this year, but I don't think anyone really cared to. I certainly wasn't asking for it. So, but we make witch cowls all year round, and also Dickies jumpsuits. So. I'll let you be the judge.
I mean, you can tell where you know, the real support is there.
I mean, the most important thing is they cover trans healthcare. It's queer inclusive, and a lot of us, whether or not we're in certain kinds of relationships, like at least somewhat identify with the queer community. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's a good vibe. But we should probably wrap up. But I hope that wherever you are, if there's a pride or pride type activities that you participate in exactly how many you want to and have the best time with the people that you care about and who love and support you. And if you want to know, hey, can I go? The answer is probably yes. Go.
Yep. Go take a look at what's happening and find interesting people.
Wear some go-go pants or no pants, you know. Enjoy yourself.
Or totally black head to toe, Brooke.
Maybe you'll meet somebody that teaches you just how queer you can be.
Exactly.
All right. Well, have a fun rest of June, and we'll probably talk to you again in July, I bet.
Exactly. All right. Happy Pride, everybody.
Happy Pride. If you want to find us on Twitter, I'm at Brooke Shelley, and Carrie is
at KAYAYARAI, and the show is at grownups_FM.
And we're also on the internet at, I think, goodstuff.fm/grownups.
That's
If you want to hear our back episodes, we've got a bunch of them. We cover adulthood by and large, which is very broadly defined, but thanks for listening.
Yep, we're on iTunes too.
It's true. We are. All right. Have a great one.